Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Natural News Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. And today we have a very important issue. The facts of this issue will probably shock you. You want to pay attention to this. Rarely does something of this magnitude happen in the world of health freedom. Recently, a gentleman named Greg Caton, who's an herbalist and an herbal product formulator, he's been selling highly effective anti-cancer remedies for many years, and he's been pursued by the authorities in the United States, especially the FDA and the FDA's Office of Criminal Investigation, that's the OCI. He's been pursued by those folks for many years. He was convicted at one point of selling unapproved drugs, which of course were just herbs. And he at one point fled to Ecuador for his own safety. He's been living in Ecuador, selling herbs out of Ecuador for quite some time and helping many people around the world with his products. Well, recently, just in the last few days, in fact, he was kidnapped from Ecuador by law enforcement authorities. He was put on a plane, an American Airlines plane, flown back to Miami, and we believe this was done by the FDA. This investigation is ongoing. We're still trying to get all the facts, but this is what we know so far. And here to help us fill in the details of this story, this international incident, is the wife of Gregory Caton. Her name is Catherine Caton, and she runs Alpha Omega Labs, which is the company that this couple operates out of Cuenca, Ecuador. Their website is altcancer.com. That's altcancer.com if you'd like to support their business. Catherine joins us today here on the show to give us more details about what has taken place. Catherine, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much for letting us get our story out. People have to know what's going on.
So can we start at the beginning? Was my description entirely accurate that of what happened as a preamble to all of this in the U.S. over the last few years?
That's correct. My husband was convicted of selling unapproved FDA drugs. He was sentenced to 33 months in prison, which he served. He had 3 years of supervised release. He had served 1.5 years of that time. In the meantime, because I was not comfortable living in the U.S. anymore because of what happened, we had come to Ecuador because it's in our constitution that we, the people, will have access to natural medicine. And we came here, and my son and I started living here. And Greg had legal permission from the judge to fly back and forth. We had several manufacturing opportunities here, not just with herbs, but with organic passion fruit oil. About a year and a half into his supervised release, we had a hearing set before Judge Tucker Melasson out of Lafayette, Louisiana, to get the rest of his year and a half probation dismissed. And that's when we found out that when Greg was in prison, we had a vegetarian food company, Lumen Foods, and my bookkeeper at that time had embezzled over $20,000, and then she started working with the FDA agent, John Armand, who had originally arrested Greg, to get Greg and me put back in jail to cover what she had done. Part of the probation was that, or supervisor's release was that Greg was not to sell any unapproved FDA drugs. Well, she went to John Armand saying that we were making unapproved FDA drugs, which was total nonsense.
Okay, so just to clarify, what you're saying is that this ex-employee of yours, in order to cover what you're describing as her own financial embezzlement from your company, was cooperating with the FDA, or conspiring, you might say, with the FDA to try to get...
Conspiring with the FDA. She and John Armand both were lying to the court and saying that we were making unapproved FDA drugs and we were not. And also John Armand was harassing two other former employees saying they were being questioned over and over again, and these two former employees were kept on saying, look, we did not ever see the Catons make any unapproved FDA drugs, and John Armand was threatening to them, saying if they didn't cooperate, or he was very threatening towards these two employees, saying if they weren't cooperative, and I think by this time we were back in Ecuador, and he was on them if they ever heard from us, that they were immediately to report to him. And even at one point, he went over to this former employee, Tabitha Ledoux, and with a team. And when they had finished with the first raid and destroyed all of our inventory, the last day of their raid, they had said, whatever's left you can keep and sell. And she had taken some products. And, several years later, he's there with a team and he said, if you don't hand over all of Alpha Omega products that you have, we will come and search and raid your home. So she handed her what few products that, she had left.
All right, so this FDA agent, John Armand, you're saying
he's a rogue FDA agent.
Okay. A rogue FDA agent intimidating your ex-employees to try to get dirt on you to put you back in prison.
Correct.
That's what you're describing. Okay. Now I called I've tried to contact John Armand. And I have a call into the FDA.
When he came and arrested Greg the first time, I'm surprised they wouldn't let you talk to him, because I had people call him all the time and he would talk to them and they would tell me what all he said.
That's interesting, because I tried to call the office this morning. I got a hold of the Miami FDA OCI office and asked to speak with John Armand, and they told me that I needed to speak with a press officer. And
because they know what's coming down the line. They know what they did, how illegal it was, and I don't know how they think they're going to get out of this one.
Well, we're going to find out, because I still want to talk to them, and in all fairness, I'd like to hear their side of the story. I'd like to find out why they thought it was okay to kidnap an American citizen from a sovereign nation, Ecuador. But here's another point that I'd like to ask you about. It's really important for listeners to understand that the crimes, the so-called crimes that Greg was convicted of in the U.S. are not crimes in Ecuador. You can sell anti-cancer herbs in Ecuador, and you can put right on the bottle, these are anti-cancer herbs. It's not a criminal offense, because everybody knows those herbs are anti-cancer. They are anti-diabetes. They are anti-heart disease. I mean, Ecuador is a country rich in herbology and indigenous use of herbs, and these aren't crimes in Ecuador.
That's correct. That's why we came here, because we could legally do what we wanted to do, and we have all the proper health and sanitary permits to manufacture and sell medicinal plants worldwide, and we ship worldwide to countries that I've never even heard before.
In doing that too, your company actually contributes a tremendous amount of financial abundance to the Ecuadorian economy, right? Because you're hiring
Absolutely.
People, you're buying herbs from local Ecuadorian farmers and
shamans,
yeah. Okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Can you continue with? I just want to set that stage so people understand that. I mean, I went on Interpol, right? And there's a listing for Greg Catan on Interpol, and it says that he's wanted for these crimes of, quote, drug offenses or drug crimes.
Selling fake herbal products or remedies. Now, here's another interesting story. We had been here a little over a year, and we get a frantic phone call from one of our friends here that he had been taken out, he and his son had been taken out of his car and driven to immigration and questioned for over 2 hours, you know, where is Greg Caton? And he was finally let go, so he called us when we got out. They were illegally trying to kidnap Greg at that time. And actually, National Police car show up at our house that we were renting at that time. Greg was not in town, thank goodness. He was able to escape kidnapping at that time because the U.S. is well known for coming into Ecuador and illegally taking people, whoever they want, without going through the proper extradition procedures because it takes too long. So they just come in, pay off police, and get whoever they want and fly them out. Well, he missed. And so right. I guess it was around March we get a phone call from one of our customers saying that he had seen the news article. Parade magazine had published articles on people on the run and listed on Interpol. And that's the first we had heard of it. And then right after that, we received phone calls from multiple sources that, hey, up until the end of February, Greg was not listed on any agency or Interpol, but in this Parade magazine article, it has him being listed as wanted, being wanted on Interpol from November. And the only reason that is because what John Armand did was illegal. He didn't get away with it, and he was trying to cover what he did by publishing Greg as being wanted on Interpol.
So your theory, if I could paraphrase, is that that this FDA criminal investigation agent got Greg listed on Interpol in order to cover his tracks for this attempted kidnapping in 2008.
Well, we've been hearing from a certain source that has filled us in, and I can't repeat his name, but he kind of knows what's going on, and that's what happened.
Okay, I called Interpol this morning to try to find out what does it take to be listed on Interpol. And they actually confirmed to me, and I have the name of the Interpol press person or agent that I talked to. I have that name. I'm not going to give it on the air here, but they confirmed to me that the FDA can indeed get people listed on Interpol under the wanted status. So they did not confirm that it was John Armand or any specific agent, but they confirmed that the FDA has that authority to list people on Interpol. So that's interesting.
I believe it said that it's out of Lafayette, Louisiana.
You know what? I can check that. I've got that listing right here.
Because John Armand used to be in Covington, Louisiana.
Okay. Let's see. The arrest warrant issued by Lafayette, Louisiana for, quote, drugs-related crimes and fraud. I mean, that makes it sound like he's smuggling heroin or something. And we're talking about medicinal herbs.
We're also talking about a year and a half of left on his probation that we did not go back to the hearing because the former employee and John Armand were determined to get us back in jail. And
So it sounds like you're saying that you cannot trust the justice system there and you fled in order to seek your own justice. I mean,
yes. Yeah, you can confirm this with our corporate attorney in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I had forwarded him all the paperwork. He has it on crystal. He did send it to the prosecutor's office, but unless it's a huge amount of money, and to them $20,000 isn't that much money, they really don't do anything. But you can confirm this story with him.
What do you think are the implications here of the international implications of the U.S. having come into Ecuador illegally and essentially kidnapped someone who has full permanent residency status in Ecuador?
It's a personal vendetta.
It it sounds like to me the U.S. is operating more like a terrorist organization than a law enforcement. I mean, they don't follow the law.
Well, that's exactly what happened. False charges were filed against Gray, Ecuadorian. The arrest that they did was completely illegal. When Ecuadorian arrest a foreigner, they're supposed to have somebody there that speaks the same language as the foreigner. They did not. And we kept on asking, what's going on, what's going on? They had set up a license check at a remote road going out to the property where we live, so they knew exactly where we were and to where to get Greg. And
so they set up a checkpoint on essentially on your driveway.
Yeah, yes, Estados Unidos, United States. That's all they said. But then the actual arrest charges were Ecuadorian, not U.S.
Okay, hold on, just a sec. How many men were at the checkpoint, and were they armed, and what were they armed with?
Just a couple policemen in the National Police. That's all I can remember.
Okay. And they
and
just they
got Greg out of the custom, and we kept on saying, "What's the matter? You know, what's going on? What's going on?" And then one policeman said, "I don't speak English." Estados Unidos. He pulled it out, cashed it at me, and took Greg, and I had them briefly speak to our assistant in Guayaquil to explain what was going on. And our assistant took over from there, and what it ended up being Ecuadorian charges, false charges. Somebody filed charges saying that Greg was here illegally and that we were selling herbal products that were harming people. And we proved that we had legal residence here and that we were producing herbs legally, and so the original judge was going to release Greg from jail. And then it has to go through another individual called the chief of police, Arendante, over inmates, who had, we had found out later, had been bribed and promised relatives that were in the U.S. green cards. He had illegally signed Greg's deportation paperwork. And so at that point, we had to appeal his decision. So we went to a second judge in a second hearing. At that hearing, the U.S. consulate showed up, and he froze and said, "I'm not qualified to make a decision."
The judge said that?
The judge said that, even though he was. But
what was a U.S. consulate doing? Why was a U.S. consulate member there?
Because Greg was a U.S. citizen, and they show up at all the hearings. That's what I was told. But many judges here from Ecuador are also U.S. Residents, so they don't want to piss off the U.S. So mm-hmm. We were in the process of appealing a third time. We had the new judge. We had the appeal approved. The hearing is for today, Monday, the 22nd at 3 o'clock here in Ecuador. And so this judge is an older judge getting ready to retire, doesn't really care about the U.S., so he was, you know, a judge that could not be bribed by the U.S., and so what the U.S. did was they I received a phone call from Greg early that morning, Friday morning, saying, "Whatever you're doing legally isn't working. I'm here at the airport. They're getting ready to fly me out." So I immediately called my assistant, who was 10 minutes away from the airport, and he had called Greg's attorney, who had been called this new judge. Well, and then they all went down to the airport. And he was scheduled to fly out on a commercial flight, American Airlines. I believe it was flight 952, leaving at 11:06.
From Guayaquil
and
to Miami.
From Guayaquil to Miami, and we thought we had plenty of time to stop them from taking him. The judge had to go to this Andante and remove his authority over the paperwork he had signed because it was illegal, and then he had to get some other documents notarized, and then he headed to the airport. and he went to American Airlines and said, you know, he had all the legal, proper paperwork that Greg was not to be removed from the country. American Airlines would not listen. And then also our assistant had gone up to the police that were holding Greg at the gate and said, the judge is on a way with the paperwork that he is not to leave the country. Well, at that time, the State Department was there, immediately put Greg on the plane.
Wait a minute. The U.S. State Department was there?
That's what Juan said, that the State Department was there, and they immediately put him on the plane saying, this is American property. And the judge, you know, continued to, you know, say, I have the paperwork. He is not to leave the country, and they would not listen. And then they tried to call the control tower because at that time, you know, they were taxiing out, and American Airlines and the pilot would not listen to the control tower. And at that point, they, you know, they were in airspace, so they had called a general in the Ecuadorian military who had asked American Airlines to please land the plane in Quito and let this man be bored, and they would not. Yes, but, okay, and then within 24 hours, the American embassy has to be notified. If anybody's arrested, I believe that's how it was explained to me. And so the U.S. already, you know, had Interpol arresting that he was wanted back in the U.S. Everything was very well planned out and coordinated by the U.S. to do it the way they did when you think about it. They had everything planned out to a T.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Because first they get him arrested on local Ecuadorian charges that were...
Ecuador, correct.
Sounds like they were trumped up because he is there legally. He has all his paperwork. That's not an issue. And then before he can go to the hearing that would get him released, U.S. State Department shows up and basically grab him or... And they stick him on a plane, and then they say that's U.S. soil, and you can't touch him now that he's on a plane.
Well, and according to the legal authorities that I've talked to here, that's nonsense. As long as they are in the country of Ecuador, they are responsible to obey Ecuadorian rules and regulation and laws.
Right, right. So when the Ecuadorian military...
Well, I blame the American Airlines as much as I do the U.S. To me, they are part of this illegal kidnapping, and to me, it's a terrorist act. They helped and cooperated with illegally kidnapping my husband and taking him and flying him to the U.S.
American Airlines.
They were asked repeatedly by this Ecuadorian federal judge. I had paperwork. He is not to leave the country. And they cooperated with these U.S. officials to illegally remove Greg from the country against an Ecuadorian court order.
Right. So the nation of Ecuador, that is the top officials in Quito, probably weren't even aware that this was going on, right?
No, they are not, and it's still under investigation by some investigative reporters, and it will be brought to the attention of the president, hopefully by, you know, within short order, hopefully by the end of this week.
What do you suppose the President Correa, will do about this? I mean, he expelled a couple of diplomats last year after...
For doing the same thing, exactly.
Right.
The relationship is where the U.S. just takes advantage and bribes and does illegal activity all the time, then what is the point of having any kind of relationship with this evil entity known as the U.S. Embassy? They're evil.
Now then, what does the future hold? It sounds like Greg's going to be held. I mean, he's in Miami right now, obviously, and he's going to be tried for violating probation. And what happens now?
I have no idea. I have to find an attorney, and that takes time and preparation.
And money.
And money.
Well, folks, for those of you listening who want to assist with this effort, you can purchase products. Your company's still open for business, right? You're still selling medicinal herbs out of Ecuador, right?
Well, for now.
For now? It's perfectly legal under Ecuadorian law, and the website is altcancer.com, where you can purchase many very effective Ecuadorian herbal products that I actually grow many of these herbs in my own garden, Catherine, and I use them every day, and that's my medicine too. I mean,
yeah,
it's unthinkable how all of this can be considered such a crime when all Greg is really guilty of is using indigenous knowledge to create products that help people heal.
Exactly.
And yet, in the U.S. now, he's branded a criminal on Interpol. He's kidnapped out of the country. He's thrown in prison. I mean, he's probably facing many years of...
Right. We're getting too close to the truth, and they don't tolerate the truth. They're all about suppression.
Do you think that public awareness of the situation can help...
Absolutely.
Maybe win Greg's freedom? I mean, what can people do right now who are listening?
Stand up and tell your story. One of the things that happened to us after Greg's original arrest in 2003 is we got just hundreds of phone calls, mostly from hysterical people, you know, wanting to know what they were going to do because we could not provide them with our products anymore. But one of the phone calls was from a woman who had cured herself with breast cancer with using our products and had tried to get her story on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And her staff had said, we cannot air your story. We're supported by the pharmaceutical companies. And I just challenge everybody to get out there, and if you have cured yourself naturally by any means or using products or any means, to try to get your story told on any mainstream media outlet.
Well, this seems to be one of the goals behind these efforts to intimidate people like Greg Caton or Dr. Brzezinski out
yes,
of Texas.
I worked for Dr. Brzezinski in the late 80s or early 90s in the quality control of making his products.
So you know all about this kind of thing, the intimidation, the efforts to try to suppress people who are offering cures.
Yes. When I worked for Dr. Brzezinski, his legal bills just to stay open because of the FDA harassment was like $100,000 a month.
My goodness. Do you find it especially odd that right now when America is just about bankrupt, well, beyond bankrupt, you could say, and it's struggling with health care reform, and the cost of healthcare reform, that the very people who have answers for how to prevent cancer and how to treat cancer, those are the people that are being locked up?
Absolutely. I mean, that's how evil and corrupt the system is, the pharmaceutical companies are. And people need to wake up and stand up and fight this evil.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to do, Catherine. We're trying to get the truth out there and wake people up to what's really going on. Because if we don't stand up for the rights of the right to access these kinds of medicinal cures and natural remedies, then they're all going to be taken away from us, and we'll have nothing left but vaccines and pharmaceuticals and chemotherapy and radiation. And that's all they want us to have access to.
That's right, and people have to make up their mind now, and they've got to start fighting for their freedom now, today, or like it's going to be exactly what you just said. There's not going to be any freedom of choice. You're going to be dictated to as to what you're going to take. And if people want it, really want to be dictated to, then remain silent.
Right. What do you think is going through the minds of the people at the FDA who are behind this? I mean, don't you think in their own minds that they think they're doing the right thing? That they
No. Mm-mm.
No?
No. They work with the pharmaceutical companies. They're paid by the pharmaceutical companies. This is their job to suppress and arrest and... this is what they're paid to do by the pharmaceutical companies.
And it occurred to me there's no oversight of the FDA's Office of Criminal Investigation. There's no congressional oversight. There's no law enforcement oversight. Who watches these people? Nobody.
Well, no.
This reminds me of that book by Jonathan Emord, I think it's called The Rise of Tyranny.
Yes.
Which talks exactly about that issue. There's no oversight of these regulatory agencies, and they can do anything they want without consequence. Yeah. What are your plans now, Catherine? What do you have in mind?
Right now, I really need to find a good attorney that's going to stand up for Greg and defend him and, That's my main goal right now, is to really try to find a good attorney for Greg.
Yeah. If anyone listening can recommend a good, you need a criminal attorney in this case, because we're talking about a probation violation of sorts. So a good criminal attorney who can represent Greg Caton. How can they contact you, Catherine?
On this number, or I'll give two phone numbers. It's 305-851-2308. It's Vonage. It's a Florida exchange, but it reaches me here in Ecuador.
Okay. That number again, folks, is 305-851-2308. If anyone listening can offer assistance, even financial assistance, legal assistance, or has information that could help Catherine and Greg Caton defend themselves against this oppression, then please call that number, talk to Catherine, and offer your assistance. This is extremely important for us, because you know what we're up against. You can see it right now. If the U.S. can walk into any country in the world and kidnap a citizen and accuse them of crimes or convict them of crimes that aren't crimes in most places in the world, what does that say about freedom? What does that say about national sovereignty? What does that say about justice in the United States? Those are the issues we're dealing with here. Anything else you'd like to add to that, Catherine?
You said it perfectly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and we are pulling for you. We feel for you. We will continue to cover this story, and please keep us all informed of what is the situation. I'm going to keep calling the FDA, by the way, and see if I can talk to this criminal investigative officer and find out what is his role in this, if any, or what he has about it.
Yeah, I seriously doubt he's going to even talk to you. Because what they did was criminal, so he's not going to talk to you. And if he did, he's certainly not going to be the truth.
Well, if he doesn't talk to me, that's actually very indicative right there. I mean, if he says, I'm not going to talk to you, period, then that's part of the story.
You've already been told that he's not going to talk to you, that you have to talk to the public relations person.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll keep trying, because...
Yeah.
I want to talk to this guy and find out what he's got to say. I'm going to keep talking to the FDA and find out their story about all of this, whether they deny any involvement or admit involvement in this or what have you. It's important for them to be on the record with some answer.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. And your effort, I know you must be going through a lot of trauma right now with this situation, and you have a tremendous amount of courage to be able to get on the phone and tell this story and talk to me today. And I thank you so much for that.
And hopefully, you know, we have to continue to get the truth out. And, you know, what is their defense other than to attack and condemn?
Right. And all this comes back. I still can't believe it all comes back to just one man selling medicinal herbs and telling the truth about what those herbs can do to heal cancer. That's what's behind all this.
That's correct.
And I can walk down the street in Ecuador. I can walk into a pharmacy. I can buy uña de gato, cat's claw herb, and it says right there on the package, this herb helps prevent cancer. I mean, it's this whole thing is outrageously ridiculous. What's behind it? And they've turned your husband into an international fugitive based on that.
Yes. Exactly.
Unbelievable what our world has come to.
Yes,
all right,
is.
Well, I understand you're going to be on Jeff Rentz's show later on this week and perhaps maybe
Tuesday,
even Alex
Tuesday
Jones'
night.
Show.
Yes, Tuesday night I'm going to be on Jeff Rentz.
Okay.
Yes, and we're
so,
trying to
folks,
get on Alex Jones.
All right, well, you're going to be able to tell your story to a lot of people through all these various independent media outlets. Outlets that don't take money from pharmaceutical companies, by the way. Just the only reason you can get your story out through folks like us. In any case, I look forward to talking to you soon. And you know, I live in Ecuador as well, so maybe we can get together soon and pursue this story even more. Find out more what's going on.
Thank you so much. May the blessings be. God will see the light in this and show the light.
You're very welcome, Catherine. Well said. Take care, and we'll talk to you again soon. So, folks, thanks for listening. This has been a special breaking news report here on the Natural News Show. You've been listening to myself, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, as well as Catherine Caton, the wife of Gregory Caton, who is now in a U.S. Prison, perhaps, or a holding facility, something along those lines.
A federal holding facility in Miami. That's all I know.
And his future is unknown. Okay, so you have spoken to him once.
Yes.
So we know he's back on U.S. soil, and his future is now up to the so-called justice system in the United States, and we will see where that leads us all. We'll bring you more information on this breaking story as we learn it. Thanks for tuning in today, and you can find more about this at naturalnews.com. Take care. Hi, this is Mike Adams with some additional commentary on this very important story. I've known Greg Caton for many years, actually more than 10 years. I haven't known him that closely, but I'm familiar with his work, and I'm familiar with the number of people that he has helped through his work. For example, there's a retired astronaut, Dr. Brian O'Leary, who lives in Vilcabamba, Ecuador, who has used Greg Caton's anti-cancer products very successfully. And in fact, has openly endorsed his products. I've heard from many readers over the years who have used the CanSema product. In fact, I've recommended the product, and it has helped many people. The number of lives that have been saved by Greg Caton's products is probably in the thousands by now. And this is a product, the CanSema. It's an anti-cancer salve based on bloodroot and zinc and some other things that actually cures skin cancer. It's based on the remedies from Harry Hoxie, who the American Medical Association and the FDA criminalized and went after back in the turn of the 20th century, back in the 1920s, if I remember correctly. You can just Google Harry Hoxie, H-O-X-S-E-Y, Hoxie, and you can learn about that. And it's a
it's a very disturbing and fascinating story about how the medical establishment attempts to intimidate, or even in Harry's case, assassinate individuals who threaten the cancer industry. The cancer industry is very lucrative. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. Maybe in the tens of billions of dollars when by the time you add up all the side effects caused by chemotherapy and the money generated from treating those side effects. It's a huge industry, and people like Greg Catan are a very real threat to that industry. And whereas today people like Greg aren't being assassinated, they are being kidnapped and imprisoned, put in jail, brought up on false charges. And for what? For what? Just to protect the profits of the cancer industry, to put these people out of business. It's like I said in the interview with Catherine, in an age where the United States of America is bankrupt, it's going broke so quickly. I mean, it's just bleeding money. It's beyond bankrupt. The debt is in the, what, over $10 trillion of debt right now? And a lot of the spending in the U.S., about one-fifth of the GDP currently, is spent on healthcare costs. And a significant portion of that is spent on treating people for cancer and cancer-related conditions. Treating cancer is very, very expensive. Well, what if there were natural, safe, effective, and low-cost solutions for treating cancer? Couldn't that save America a lot of money? Couldn't it save a lot of lives? Couldn't it extend lifespan and extend the productivity of tax-paying working citizens? Of course it could. Cancer cures need to be an essential part of healthcare reform in America. Legitimate cancer cures. Well, conventional medicine says, but they aren't proven. They aren't proven to cure anything. Well, of course they're not proven in their system, because their system is designed to exclude anything natural by design. Anything that cannot be patented will never be proven to cure anything. And at the same time, increasingly, the evidence that the pharmaceutical industry comes up with to support its own, quote, treatments is all fabricated anyway. I just published a story about Tamiflu that demonstrates that. The drug company that makes Tamiflu, Roche, actually directed, the marketing department of Roche directed the clinical trial researchers on exactly what conclusion they should draw from their study and what they should write in their conclusion. I mean, the whole thing was fabricated from the start. The evidence is fabricated. So you have a pharmaceutical industry that fabricates its own evidence while dismissing anything from the world of natural medicine. And then you have a regulator, the FDA, that criminalizes anyone who attempts to sell products that actually help people heal. And getting back to the economy and the United States of America as a nation, the nation is headed towards financial disaster, and the very people who could help save America from its own financial destruction, the very people who could save countless lives from cancer, from heart disease, from diabetes, from strokes, from other chronic degenerative diseases, those are the people who are being labeled criminals and put in prison. Those are the people we're locking up in America. Meanwhile, the CEOs of the pharmaceutical companies run free. No one's prosecuting them. No one's investigating them for their crimes against humanity, for their crimes against the children, for example, who are being dosed up on the psychiatric drugs. The criminals run free, and the healers are in prison. That's America today. And it's worse than that. It's not just that. It's that America feels that it has the right now to essentially march into any country in the world, whether it's Ecuador or Peru or Colombia or anywhere, that it can march into any country in the world and it can kidnap a U.S. citizen and haul them back to the United States, even against the judge's orders in that country in which that individual resides legally. The U.S. feels like it has the power to override all national sovereignty and march into any nation and do anything it wants. Why? Because it can. Because the U.S. respects no law. And the FDA certainly respects no law. It's been well proven the FDA follows no law other than what it makes up. The FDA is a lawless rogue organization, no question about it. We've reported on it many, many times and given so many facts that support that. And the FTC has joined in with that in many respects with their assaults on organizations like Daniel Chapter 1, a ministry in the U.S. selling anti-cancer products that's been threatened. The organizers of that ministry have been threatened with jail time. They've been threatened with being raided. I spoke with another company, another breaking story that will come out soon. A big herbal company, well, I should say medium-sized herbal company. They've been threatened and intimidated by the FTC. They were intimidated into signing a consent decree. This is a document that the FTC makes you sign where you have to admit to committing crimes that aren't even crimes. Things like selling unapproved drugs, such as an herb. So, for example, if I sell oranges, and I say that oranges cure scurvy because they contain vitamin C, and scurvy is a disease of vitamin C deficiency. If I say that, then all of a sudden I'm an international criminal, and the FDA can have me listed on Interpol, and the FTC can raid my business and raid my home and confiscate everything I own and make me sign a document that says I'm a criminal, I admit to committing these crimes of selling, quote, unapproved drugs, which are really just oranges, or cherries, or broccoli, or medicinal herbs, you name it. Anything that has a health benefit on the human body can be called an unapproved drug by the FTC or the FDA. And they can come after you, and they can throw you in prison, they can kidnap you anywhere in the world and haul you back to the U.S. to face trial for your, quote, crimes. And what are these crimes? The crime of helping people heal. That's the crime. It just reminds me of Nazi Germany so much. It's a chemical holocaust that's going on today with the pharmaceutical companies and their war against health freedom, their war against freedom of speech by the nutritional supplement companies, their war on healing. Isn't it obvious that they don't want you to heal? They don't want anybody to have solutions that don't involve their own patented drugs, chemotherapy, poisons, and radiation. They don't want you to have access to things that work, that are provided by Mother Nature. Because if you have that access, then you have options. And if you have options, they might lose you as a lifelong paying customer. They might lose control over you and your pocketbook. And they know this. And that's why this war continues, this war against the practitioners of natural medicine, the war against the herbalists, the war against the homeopaths, the war against the Chinese medicine practitioners, the war against the alternative medicine doctors who are curing cancer every day, everywhere around the world, except in the United States of America, because they've all been threatened, intimidated, arrested, or chased out of the country. That's the reality of what we are dealing with today in America, land of the free, if you still believe that. I worry about where we're headed. I worry about the future of humanity. If our species can do this, can isolate us from nature, isolate us from medicine, can imprison those who would reconnect us with the natural healing properties of Mother Nature's medicine, then what does that say about the future of the human race? What does that say about us? Do we have a chance? Do we have a shot at even surviving the next couple of generations? And what does it say about the United States of America? It's supposed to be the land of the free, the land of opportunity. It has become the land of medical enslavement, the land of don't tell the truth or you'll wind up in prison. the land of kowtowing to big business. That's what it has become. I'm saddened to bring you this message today, but I have to tell it like it is. That's what I see happening out there. Do something. Stand up, speak out, do something to help bring back the freedom that we all deserve in America and around the world. And thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for naturalnews.com.